All right. Hello, everyone. welcome to the Guiding Lights. Last week on the Guiding Light, we were looking at NTI chapter 7, NTI 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And one of the things that we looked at in NTI 1 Corinthians chapter 7 was something called points of experience. And that's a term that I've never seen used anywhere except for in NTI 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And it doesn't mean we won't run across it somewhere someday. It doesn't mean that symbol hasn't been used with someone else. But I've never seen it any other time. What NTI 1 Corinthians chapter 7 says a point of experience is something that covers up the truth. Wherever there is a point of experience, the truth is hidden underneath that experience. And it describes, or it gives examples of points of experience. For example, it says worry is a point of experience. So when we're caught up in worry, we are unaware of truth. It says that guilt is a point of experience. So when we are caught up in believing that we are guilty or that someone else is guilty, we are unaware of truth. And I'm sure if we wanted to brainstorm a list of points of experience, we could do that. Interestingly, in the gentle healing group over the last week, we were looking at NTI Romans. And NTI Romans chapter 2 talks about how we made experience so that we could experience something different from truth. So really that teaching in NTI Romans chapter 2 that we made experience for that purpose so that we could experience something different from truth, and the teaching in NTI 1 Corinthians chapter 7 that experience covers truth or hides truth is the same. And if you want to get really profound, we can go to the movies. If you've seen the movie Revolver, there's a scene where, is his name Jake Green, I think? Jake Green is on the roof with the two con men that actually represent the Holy Spirit. And they're starting to explain to him about the ego's game. And they tell him that the ego hides underneath his pain. And if you think about it, pain is experience. So when they tell him that the ego hides underneath his pain, right? The ego is, you could call it the wind beneath the wings of suffering. The ego is the wind beneath the wings of suffering. And we don't see the ego when we believe our suffering. But if we look underneath the suffering and start looking at the ego, what we're going to find, and this is what Rupert Spira was saying in our video last week, we're going to find that there really is no ego. That there's nothing there. That this is just looped thoughts getting our attention and generating this thing called experience. And what's really underneath that experience, what's always been there, is truth. And when we're so caught up in our experience, so caught up in our worry, in our fear, in our guilt, in our anger, in our righteousness, when we're so caught up in our experience, we don't notice what's underneath it or what's present even while the experience is happening. And that's truth. So what NTI 1 Corinthians also says then is that we need to release experience from the shell. Because remember, NTI 1 Corinthians is using the symbol of the empty shell. So it says we need to release experience from the shell. And it talked about the way to do this. And the way to do this is to allow the experience to pass upward through the shell and then kind of evaporate out the top. And again, that's a symbol, but the symbol really fits with what the Tao Te Ching says when it says, if you want to get rid of something, first you must allow it to flourish. In other words, we're allowing the feelings of the experience. We're allowing the worry feeling, the worry emotion. We're allowing the guilt feeling, the guilt emotion. But what we also need to simultaneously be doing is not believing it. We need to remember that experience is made. It is not truth. It is not reality. And that it covers reality. Experience, in other words, is illusion. Experience is illusion. So as I said last night, I may feel guilty, but that does not mean I am guilty. In fact, I'm not, right? Because experience is an illusion. I may feel unworthy, but that doesn't mean I am unworthy. I may feel fearful, but that doesn't mean there's anything to fear. And again, the problem that we have is that we tend to give these points of experience, we validate them as if they are reality. Right? If I feel guilty, it's because I did something bad. That's the way we interpret it, that this feeling of guilt is a reality, and it says something true about me. And that's not what NTI is teaching. NTI is saying experience is an illusion. It is something you made so that you could experience something different from truth. But experience is just that. Experience is different from truth, which means it's not true. You know, think about that the next time you feel guilty. This guilt I'm feeling is different from truth, right? Or the next time you feel unworthy, this unworthiness I'm feeling is different from truth. Or the next time you feel fearful, this fear I'm feeling is different from truth. And if you pay close attention to yourself, you'll notice that we do see experience as truth. Right? We do see experience as truth. We do believe it. And that's the unfortunate habit, I suppose I'll call it. I don't know what else to call it. Maybe it's just a process. That's the process we've gotten ourselves into that now we want to reverse. Yeah, I like saying it that way. Believing experience to be truth is a process that we have gotten ourselves into, and now that process needs to be reversed. In other words, we need to be very, very clear that experience is not truth, that experience is illusion, that experience was made to be different than the truth, right? It's different than the truth. So that's kind of a review of last week. By the way, let me tell you guys something really cute. If you're in the Gentle Healing Group, you know that our workbook lesson today is My Thoughts Are Images I Have Made. And according to the instructions, if we really feel like we're willing, and I do feel like I'm willing, if we really feel like we're willing, we're allowed to do the exercise up to 4 times today. And what I do at the beginning of the day is I pick out the times when I'm going to do the exercise. And so the first time, of course, was first thing in the morning. The second time was going to be just prior to the guiding light. The third time is just before I go pick up Cheryl at Ken's. And then the fourth time is just before I go to bed. Those are my 4 planned times. Well, I got caught up in doing some work, getting prepared to go to India. And the next thing I knew, it was time to come in here and teach. And I didn't have the time. I didn't forget, but necessarily, I mean, I knew, oh no, guiding light, but I wanted to do the workbook lesson first. But when I looked at the clock, it just didn't appear that I had the time. So I thought, well, that's, you know, I'll just do it right after then, I guess. But, you know, I was a little disappointed because I wanted to do the exercise before coming to the guiding light. And it's so funny because I wasn't able to take the mic. Those of you who are here, you know, I mean, from my perspective, I took it and I was talking, but you all weren't seeing a mic and you all weren't hearing anything. And Hal suggested that I reboot Well, rebooting, while the computer was rebooting, I did my exercise. So I got to do my exercise prior to the guiding light. So I thought that was kind of fun. See how the universe is helping me keep my commitment? Yay! We are blessed. All right, so before we go into something new, then, as you know, what I traditionally do is I play a song, just kind of to, you could say, to clean our palate, to clean our palate from the review of last week and get us ready for this week. So the song that I'm going to play now is by John Lennon, and the name of this song is God.
Right.
So with that, we are going to begin our new reading today. And our new reading begins in NTI on page 295. It's about the third paragraph up from the bottom. It says verses 29 to 31, if you happen to be reading along with me. Now remember, the last thing that we read was asking us to release points of experience from the shell, because points of experience block truth, right? All right, here we go. Remember that the shell is not real. So whatever experience you seem to experience within the shell is not real either. Therefore, be not attached to the experience you experience, or the one you wish to experience. Be free instead to realize there is no shell. Now it's interesting that this symbol shell is being used, because what that leads us to have to do is kind of ask, what does this mean? You know, because this very unusual symbol is being used. And it's wonderful when we have to ask, what does this mean? In fact, what I have been encouraging people to do, you know, last night and today especially, is encouraging people when they are, reading spiritual material or listening to a spiritual audio or watching a spiritual video, that they begin to ask within, what does that mean? Or ask within, what is in this for me? What's in this that I need to pay attention to? Or something, some kind of a question that gets them going within to inner wisdom instead of depending on the thinking mind. And so one thing that's really, really nice about the term shell is that it really is meaningless. We have no idea what the shell is. Right, he's not using the word body. He's not using the word personality. He's not using the word mind. You know, we might think we know what the body is. We might think we know what the personality is. We might think we know what the mind is. But we know we don't know what the shell is. So we have to ask. And Cheryl, what this sentence is saying, let me bring you back to this sentence. What this sentence is saying is, remember that the shell is not real. Remember that the shell is not real. So, you know, we might even have ideas about what the emptiness is. If we talk about the empty shell, we have an idea about what emptiness is. Like Cheryl has written on the board, an empty cup. You know, we know what the emptiness is. But what's the shell? The shell that does not exist. What is it that's being pointed at here? And when I ask within, what is the shell? The shell is the equivalent of the belief in the person. In fact, listen to this. Remember that the shell is not real. So whatever experience you seem to experience within the shell is not real either. Therefore, be not attached to the experience you experience, or the one you wish to experience. Be free instead to realize there is no shell. So let's imagine for a moment that I'm a person that has some kind of suffering. Let's imagine that I have a worry problem, a worry habit. You know, I'm just always worrying about everything. Well, what a person will often do if they recognize their worry habit. Lots of people have a worry habit and don't even recognize it. But what a person will often do if they recognize their worry habit, and if they really recognize that this worry is causing suffering, is they will then wish to be free of the worry. But within that wish to be free of the worry, what they're imagining is a happier person. A person that lives free of worry and therefore is happy. And so, since this has just talked about letting go of points of experience like worry and like guilt and unworthiness, and also, it wants to be very, very clear that it's not pointing us toward life as a happy person. It wants us to realize that the person itself, the one who would experience as a person either worry or as a person a worry-free life, right? The person itself is an illusion. The person itself is not truth. The person itself is not what we are. So it says, remember that the shell is not real. Or whatever experience you seem to experience within the shell, so whatever experience you seem to experience within the shell is not real either. Therefore, be not attached to the experience you experience or the one you wish to experience. Be free instead to realize there is no shell. So this is if we call this a goal, this is a goal beyond the goal of a happy person, right? This is beyond that because we want to see that the person is also illusion, not truth. The person itself could be called a point of experience. This experience of being a person is a point of experience. And if this experience of being a person is believed, whether I perceive myself as a worrywart or a positive, happy person, right? Either way, it still hides truth. Remembering there is no shell and there is no experience that is true experience will free you from attachment to points of experience. When you are freed from attachments, you will release them more easily, and you will travel this path of remembrance more swiftly with me. Remembering there is no shell. Remembering there is no person. The experience of being a person, and we're not denying that we're having that experience, right? That would just be insanity. Deny that we're having the experience of being a person. But experience is not truth. This is the idea that we are being asked to remember. Because again, we perceive experience as truth. If I experience myself as guilty, I must be guilty. If I experience myself as a person, I must be a person. That's the way we look at things. And what we're being taught very carefully here is that experience is not truth. Experience is the illusion that covers truth. So I may experience myself as a person, but even as I'm experiencing myself as a person, I want to keep in mind that experience itself is illusion. That's something that the mind can't even begin to comprehend. If you try and think about that, you can't. I can't anyway. I can't think about that. To the mind, experience is truth. But I think that probably what we can do is we can begin to take this on faith. Faith often comes first, right? What was that quote we had from the movie Kumari? Faith begins as an experiment and ends as an experience. But here the word experience is being used differently, right? Faith begins as an experiment and ends as an experience. So what that means is if we begin to take on faith that experience is not truth, then we may get to, and unfortunately we're using the same word here, the direct experience of the truth that is beyond experience. And it sucks a little bit we got to use the same word there. This can be very, very confusing for people, you know, because we are saying on the one hand, experience is not truth. Experience is illusion. Experience is what was made to be different from truth. And then on the other hand, we're saying if you have faith in this and trust this, you will get to the direct experience of seeing this as true. And we've got the same word experience there. So let me stop and talk a little bit about the word experience. If I can. So experience, when it's talking about experience and it says experience is not truth. All right, y'all listen to me. Because the mind's going to want to fight this. So listen with openness. When we use the word experience in the sentence, experience is not truth, the word experience is referring to things that come and go. So when we say experience is not truth, that is equal to things that come and go are not truth. That's what the word experience means in that sentence. And although, you know, you have this experience of being the person that you think you are for a very long time, so you may tend to forget that it comes and goes, the truth is a person is born and a person dies. So the experience of being a person is not truth. When it talks about direct experience, when those words are used, direct experience is equal to direct knowing. Direct knowing. So the word experience is being used in two different ways here. All right? So experience, things that have a beginning and an ending that come and go, including being a person, any type of experience in that way, that is what was made to hide the truth. And what can happen, of course, and we all know this, is we can get so caught up in the coming and going that we forget to notice what's constant. We don't pay any attention to what's constant. When worry is here, I'm caught up in worry. When enjoying my friend is here, I'm caught up in enjoying my friend. When fear is here, I'm caught up in fear. You know, when sadness is here, I'm caught up in sadness. When loving this song is here, I'm caught up in loving this song. But I'm caught up at what Peace Pilgrim used to call the surface, the changing, the coming and going. And, of course, the experience that seems most constant to us at this time, but it's still the experience of coming and going. The experience that seems most constant to us at this time is this experience of being me. You know, in my case, Regina. Right? That seems more constant. But it's not an eternal thing. It's not an eternal experience. Again, I have to use the same word. That sucks, but I have to. It's not eternal. Therefore, it's not truth. So all of these comings and goings, all of these temporary experiences that capture our attention, that we get fully engrossed in, they hide the truth. And so if we can have faith in that, right, if we can have faith in that, we begin to look at things differently. And through the process of looking at things differently, through the process of beginning to inquire into things, instead of automatically putting our belief into things, we bring ourselves to the point of direct experience or direct knowing or realization of that which is constant, of that subtleness that was always there, even while all the comings and goings were happening. Right? That subtleness that was always there, that constant. And we see that's what I am, not the things that come and go. Right? Let me see. I saw that there were some questions on the board, but then I continued talking. So what I don't know is, as I continued talking, if I answered your questions. So what I'm going to do is say, if you still have a question, go ahead and type it now. We'll kind of draw a line because I may have answered your questions through my talking. If you still have a question about this, type it now. But hopefully we cleared this up a little bit. And again, NTI, 1 Corinthians uses an interesting terminology that I've never seen anywhere else. But instead of just calling it experience, it calls it points of experience. And if you, at least for me, I can tell you how that communicates into my mind. And again, I was the scribe, and so these words were really trying to communicate directly to me, right? A point is something that has a beginning and an end, right? There's a beginning, and you know, if you take a pen and just make a little point on the paper, you know, you can see all around it. I mean, the whole circle around the point. You know, there's a beginning no matter where you are. There's a beginning and an end no matter where you look. A point is something very, very temporary, very, very not eternal. And so it calls these things points of experience, which is really emphasizing it's something that has a beginning, it's something that has an end, it is not eternal. And it says the person itself, or the shell as it calls it, the person itself is a point of experience. And it wants us to look beyond trying to make a happy person, make a successful person, make a smart person. You know, any of the, if we have these negative points of experience, we often want to get rid of the negative point of experience and replace it with a positive point of experience. So instead of being a depressed person, I want to be a happy person. Instead of being an unworthy person, I want to be a successful person, right? And what this is asking us to do is to remember the person itself is a point of experience. We have to look beyond trying to be the best person we can be. Let's see. Infinite Worshipper says, can you describe the experience besides the transient? I don't know that I can describe it. I can point to it. How's that? Why don't we just take a moment to do that? So what I would like you to do is just pick any one object that's in front of you now. And I would like you to look at it, just anything at all. I don't care what you're looking at. And then I want you to continue to look at the object that's in front of you. But instead of focusing your attention on the object, I'd like you to focus your attention on noticing that you see. That's kind of an interesting thing because you can't actually see seeing. You know, you can see the object, right? You can see whatever it is that you're looking at. You could describe it to me if you wanted to. If I asked you, what are you looking at? What color is it? What shape is it? You could tell me what the thing you're looking at looks like. You could describe it. But it's, you can't really describe seeing. And yet, if you just take a moment to focus on the fact that you see that. You know that, right? You know that you see. So just take a moment to notice that you see, but notice that seeing cannot be described like the object you're looking at can be described. And yet you can know it. Now let's take that even one step further. What's aware that you see? The seeing is happening within something, something that's aware of seeing. If you close your eyes, you can't see anymore. But that which was aware of seeing is now aware of the non-seeing. If you open your eyes, you can see again, but the awareness hasn't changed. Close your eyes. You cannot see, but the awareness is constant. So the experience of seeing is coming and going as we open and close our eyes. But that which is aware of the experience of seeing is not changing at all. There's no quality of change in it. It's constant. And that's the answer to the question. That's the answer to the question when you ask me to describe the experience beside the transient, you know, other than the transient. It's that constantness. And again, you don't really experience that. If you slap yourself in the face, you experience that, you know, briefly, right? You know, right? You can kind of feel that, right? You have a brief experience. You don't experience constantness in the same way. It's always here. You can know it. We call it a direct experience, but you don't experience it like you experience a slap in the face. It has kind of an emptiness quality to it. It has kind of a nothingness quality to it, and instead of a somethingness quality to it, right? So again, what we're looking at here is that the person itself is a point of experience, like slapping yourself in the face, except it lasts a little longer, right? The person itself is a point of experience. And so we're asked to look beyond trying to improve the person's experience. And this paragraph again says, remembering there is no shell, and we'll call this no person. Remembering there is no shell and there is no experience that is true experience, right? Everything that comes and goes is not true. There is no shell and there is no experience that is true experience. If you remember that, this will free you from your attachment to points of experience. When you are freed from attachments, you will release them more easily. And you will travel this path of remembrance more swiftly with me. I was listening to Alan Watts this morning. That's one of our assignments this week. And he defined non-attachment. I'm going to be putting it in my own words. This isn't an exact quote. But he defined non-attachment as being able to let things come and go without trying to cling to them. That's non-attachment. Being able to let things come and go without trying to cling to them. And he used the example, of course, he's from an earlier time when nearly everybody smoked cigarettes, right? So he used the example of, you know, let you inhale a cigarette, when you blow it out, and the smoke, as the smoke is kind of going away from you and beginning to dissipate, it might create some little swirls, it might have some designs in it. And he said, you know, if you look at that smoke, and you watch it as it floats away, you know, you might see something quite beautiful, these different designs appearing and disappearing in the smoke. And he says, but if you try to grab that design that you like the best, you're going to destroy it, right? You just have to let it be there while it's there, appreciate it, but you also have to let it disappear. You can't cling to that beautiful design that may have appeared in your exhale. And he described that as detachment. Detachment is letting the transient be transient. That's detachment. I think sometimes people misperceive detachment as having no interest in, right? Like if we say you need to be detached from your children, they think that sounds cold. But being detached from your children means let your child be exactly what your child is right this moment, knowing that it's going to change in a moment. You know, if you've raised children, you know, first they're a baby, then they're toddlers, then they're preschoolers, then they're, you know, young elementary school kids, then they're more mature elementary school kids, then they're teenagers. You can't, they're just like the design in the smoke. You can't, no matter how hard you try, you can't keep them from changing because they are the transient. So be detached. Be detached. Allow that change to occur, but that doesn't mean you can't enjoy each and every moment, just like you can enjoy the design in the exhale of the cigarette smoke and watching it as it floats away, you know, and kind of dissipates and noticing what happens, you know, how the different designs it makes, right? You can enjoy it, but you have to allow the change. So what this is saying again is that if we remember that the person is not real, an experience is not real, if we keep that in our minds, that will help us resist the temptation to try and cling to what can't be clinged to anyway because it's going to change. Remembering there is no shell and there is no experience that is true experience will free you from attachment to points of experience. When you are free from attachments, you will release them more easily. And you will travel this path of remembrance more swiftly with me. So we're not denying experiences. We're allowing experiences to come and go and be as they are. And what we're going to learn to do while these changing, coming and going is happening all the time, what we're going to learn to do is to focus on that which is constant. We're going to learn to abide as ourself while experience continues to shift and change and come and go. We're going to be like the smoker, enjoying the appearance of the smoke and the way it looks as it floats away. So, going on to the next paragraph. Remember to stay focused on your own guidance within the world. Your guidance leads you based on your willingness to the circumstances that will help you to empty your shell. So one thing that we have talked about is that everyone has their own inner guidance. Every one of us walks this path of remembrance in a unique way. No two awakenings are ever exactly alike. Isn't that amazing? No two awakenings. If you could, you know, spend the rest of your life researching awakening, find every single awakened being that you can and learn everything you can about their story and study how they awakened, you will not find any two that awakened in the same way. Now, part of what that means is we can't copy someone else. I can't study Adyashanti, for example, find out exactly what he did and then try to repeat him and awaken. I can't awaken in Adyashanti's way. I can't awaken in Muji's way. I can't awaken in Gangaji's way. I can't awaken in Jesus's way. I can't awaken in Buddha's way. I have to find my way. My awakening is absolutely unique. And if you think about that, that's a beautiful, beautiful thing. In fact, Kathy has said, just like snowflakes, right? Just like snowflakes. Think about God in this play of falling asleep and the play of awakening again. And remember that God is infinite. And it will make perfect sense to you that no two awakenings are the same. Why would the infinite want to copy and repeat something, right? So because no two awakenings are the same, and because I can't study you and figure out how to awaken, there's only one way that I can do this. There's only one way that I can do this. And that's to get in touch with that inner guidance in me, that inner wisdom in me that knows my path to awakening. And follow it, even if it's different than everybody else's. And to some degree, it will be. And this is why it's so important that we all get in touch with our own inner wisdom. And again, if you've been noticing me in the last 24 hours, I'm beginning to push the emphasis on that, right? Every single one of us has to find, get in touch with, and become masters with. Masters at listening to it. Masters at recognizing it. Masters at choosing to follow it. Because that's our way home. And no one else can do it for us. I heard a song the other day. I've been trying to find it, but I can't find it. One day it'll pop into my awareness again, I'm sure. But I was like taking a shower when I heard this song. So you know how sometimes, you know, that, well, I don't know how it is for you, but, you know, when there's shower noise, I don't necessarily hear every line of the song. You know, a line will drift in every now and then, but, you know, the song's playing outside the shower and I'm in the shower and my focus is more on what's in the shower. So this line came drifting in from this song. And the line was something like, who knows, maybe one of you guys will know the song. The line was something like, Buddhas can only point. That was the line. Buddhas can only point. There might even have been a line, I don't know if I added this to it myself or whether it was a line in the song, they can't take you there. Buddhas can only point. They can't take you there. That's true for each and every one of us. No one can take us there except ourselves. So it's imperative that we learn the difference between our ego, which doesn't want to take us there, and that inner spiritual guidance that will take us there. We have to learn the difference between the two. We have to feel them. And then we have to learn to follow the inner spiritual wisdom, and kindly ignore the ego. Kindly ignore the ego. You know, kind of like, thank you for your suggestion, ego, but I'm going this way, right? You don't want to fight and struggle against the ego. That is actually ego, so that doesn't work. Just kind of kindly ignore the ego. Thank you very much for your suggestion, but I'm making another choice. So again, this paragraph says, remember to stay focused on your own guidance within the world. Your guidance leads you based on your willingness to circumstances that will help you empty your shell. Following guidance and staying with trust now is the best way to empty your shell. Give no thought or concern to emptying it. So don't worry about emptying your shell, right? Because that would be ego again, right? Give no thought or concern to emptying it. When you are called to notice the thoughts in your mind, notice them and let them go right then. When you do not notice the thoughts in your mind, be happy in those times also. And happiness here, in this case, happiness here is really an absence. It's the absence of worry, the absence of judgment, the absence of fear, the absence of control, the absence of believing yourself to be guilty. That's what happiness means here. And it's a very, very natural, it's what you get when all of the points of experiences are taken away. So in a way, when it says, be happy, even when you're, you know, find out that you were all caught up in the mind, even when you're all lost in the mind and forgetting all about this spiritual path, be happy then. What it's really asking you to do is, to the best of your ability, always lean back into the self. Always be aware of that constantness. To the best of your ability, remain as that. And that sounds a little crazy. You know, how can I be all lost in thought, all absorbed, and remain as the self? That's what happens when you notice, actually. When you notice that you are all caught up in worry, there'll be a temptation probably to judge yourself for having been caught up in worry. And at this point, you just want to watch. Just watch. Be happy. Stay in the absence. Stay in the space. So following guidance and staying with trust now is the best way to empty your shell. Give no thought or concern to emptying it. When you are called to notice the thoughts in your mind, notice them and let them go right then. When you do not notice the thoughts in your mind, be happy in those times also. For always the truth is true, and so always there is cause for happiness. And that's it for chapter 7. So we finally finished chapter 7. And my time is up, so I'm going to go. Bye.